This afternoon, we'd like to see the title, Feeding, in the 1st Peter, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Before starting the Bible study, or studying the Word of God, the question 1, in verse 1, what types of ministry do elders at church? In verse 1, what types of ministries do elders at church? So at church, we can see a lot of church officers, like elder, pastor, deacon, deaconess, and so on. Question 2, in verse 3, what do examples to the flock mean? In verse 3, what do examples to the flock mean? The last question, why should we be humble? Why should we be humble? The epistle of the 1st Peter, or the letter of the 1st Peter, was written by Peter, the apostle, in 63 AD. Just before the outbreak of Nero, the Roman emperor, emperor, Nero's persecution in 64 AD. In the 1st Peter chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So we can know the 1st Peter's letter or epistle was written by Peter. How? Because the Bible itself says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. To whom? So right here, audience is described as to the pilgrims of dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Those areas today belong to in Turkey. So at that time in the Turkey area, the only Christians resided there. But unfortunately today, Turkey, most area, Muslim people, we took the previous Christian residence. But at that time, when Peter wrote this particular, the first Peter, so there were earlier Christians who ever believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. So we can see this particular letter is sent to Christians, excluding non-believers. Sent to Christians, whoever reside in today Turkey area, right here, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, those area. So verse 1 said, the elders who are among you I exhort. So the elders, the New Testament was written by the Greek word, not English, not Chinese, not German, the Greek word. So the elder original, the Bible Greek word, presbyteros, literal meaning older person, is called is elder. But the Greek word has a gender, unlike American English word. English word no gender, right? But presbyteros, the masculine or male noun. So the elders means literally man, old man. But really, it doesn't mean so in the Bible, actually. The elder, the functionally meaning overseers. But Bible indicates seven functions away. So we can see the elders, what types of ministry is doing at church. First, number one, the feeding. Feeding meaning eating, or make them eat, or feeding, or shepherding. So the 1st Peter chapter 5 verse 2, as Sister Doreen read, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, by the ready mind. So right here, feed the flock of God. Feeder is the synonym of a shepherd. So also, Acts chapter 20, verse 28 said, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock or sheep, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Overseers are synonym of elders. Overseers to shepherd or to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So, basically, the first function of elder is feeding the flock of Jesus, the flock of God, or eating. So, basically, they are delivering the word of God. So let them eat the word of God in their heart. That kind of function, feeding or shepherding. Second function is ruling. Ruling. Exodus chapter 18, verse 25. First time show elders the function. And Moses chose his able men out of all Israel, made them heads over their people. Rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. In the next chapter, Exodus chapter 24, verse 1, now God said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. So basically, Moses went up in mountain because to receive the 10th commandment from God. That time, elders, how many elders? 70 elders stood afar from that mountain than they are worshiping the Lord. So right here, elders, we can see rulers. Because the first among able men of all Israel made them the heads of them. So there, those rulers, 70 people, are ordained as elders. So second function is a ruling function, elders. Third function, recognizing. So the elders recognize who is ordained by God to minister certain particular thing. For example, you know, who is ordained to minister to the law as a deacon or a deaconess or the evangelist? For example, Lucas, Brother Lucas. So elders recognize Brother Lucas to preach the gospel of God. So basically, that's why, you know, Lucas is the minister or, you know, the evangelist or preacher, some kind like that. They're recognizing function to elder, the third function. The First Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, you means Timothy, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Basically, eldership meaning the group of elders. The group of elders recognize Timothy is to deliver God's word to the flock of a sheep. You know, that kind of function. That's why the disciple Paul talked to Timothy, do not neglect the gift that is in you. So Timothy received gift from God. What is that? To teach the word of God, to deliver the word of God. That's called, you know, prophecy. So that kind of prophecy was given to Timothy, who recognized right here said the eldership. The group of elders recognized that God ordained Timothy to teach God's word to the flock of sheep. That is the third function, recognizing or discerning. The first function is teaching. The First Timothy chapter 5 verse 17 says, let the elders who rule well, so right here talking about ruling function, rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, not single honor, double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. So certain elders are teaching the word of God and the solid doctrine. So first function. People's function, James chapter 5 verse 14. Elders is praying to the sick people, to ill people. So praying function, that is the fifth function. Sixth function is financial matter, managing the working for financial matter. Acts chapter 11 verses 29 and 30 talk about that. Then disciples, each according to his ability, which meaning the disciples, how much money the charity offering depend upon each disciple ability. So some a certain disciple is able to make a certain amount of money to the poor people in Jerusalem in this context. Also the other one is X amount, the other one Y amount, like according to his ability, according to each ability, determined to send relief, which means or charity offering to the brethren dwelling in Judea. So that time is the Christian in Judea are very needy people. So that's why, you know, the other Christians they make the charity offering, you know, to the needy Christian reside in Judea. They also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So basically the elders receive the charity offering, then elders manage that finance, that offering to the needy Christians in Judea. So we can see the sixth function, managing finance. The last in the future, the some elders the sitting on the throne with the crown. Right here, the Revelation chapter 4, verse 4 says, around the throne were 24 thrones. So basically, 24 chairs, like, thrones meaning like a king, you know, the royal kind of chairs. 24 royal chairs, thrones. And on the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting. 24 elders sitting on the royal chairs, on the thrones, clothed in white robe, white clothes, and they had crowns of golden crowns of gold on their heads. So we know that all Christians will be caught up or will be raptured to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. How? Because the Bible says so. So right here, all Christians will be cut off to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. But among those Christians, 24 elders are sitting on the thrones with the crown of gold they talk about. So we can see the function of elders, seven types of function in the Bible. So right here, the elders who are among you, I exhort. So Peter is intending to encourage and correct the elders among you, who am a fellow elder. So right here, Peter indicated by himself, he is also elder. Peter doesn't say, I am Paul, Roman Catholic Paul. Because although Catholic Church is still said, Peter is the first Paul, but the Bible doesn't say so. Right here, disciple Peter said, I am a fellow elder. So disciple Peter by himself introduced to the other elders, I am also elders. So disciple Peter does not take any exalted position other than other elders. Right here, fellow elder meaning equal elder, like you, exactly like you, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Just Peter introduced by himself, I am an eyewitness of the sufferings of Christ. So where we can find out Matthew chapter 26 verses 57 through 69, Peter was there. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed Jesus Christ at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And Peter went in and sat with the servant to see the end. Basically, Jesus Christ was arrested by the Jewish soldiers. So Jesus stood before Sanhedrin, Jewish high court. There is a that time high priest named Caiaphas. Caiaphas' court is there. But Peter followed Jesus Christ, not close to Jesus Christ, followed Jesus Christ at a distance, at a far distance, with the other servants together. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. In order to kill Jesus Christ, those people in the Sanhedrin court tried to find out evidence to kill Jesus Christ, or to give a capital sentence to Jesus Christ, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to Jesus, "Do you answer nothing? What is it this man testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to Jesus, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to the high priest Caiaphas, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and saying, "He had spoken blasphemy." Blasphemy meaning defamatory statement against God. That is called blasphemy. Blasphemy, what further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? This is Caiaphas, does not believe to Jesus Christ as the Messiah and the Son of God either. They answered and said, "He is deserving of death. He is deserving of death." Then they spat in his face. Right here, sufferings come out. They spat in Jesus' face and beat Jesus, and others struck Jesus with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you?" Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." So at that time Peter denied three times. So, you know, so I was not there, you know, with the Jesus and of Galilee, you know, at all, you know, something like that. So right here, the Peter was an eyewitness the sufferings of Jesus. Where? On the courtyards of Caiaphas in Sanhedrin court. Also, the Peter introduced by himself a partaker of the glory. So, the Peter also is some kind of witness for pre-incarnate glory, or foretasted the glory of Jesus. Where? Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8 says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took number one Peter, second James, and the third one John." Only three disciples, not all 12 disciples. Only three disciples, one Peter, one James, one John. "Led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and Jesus was transfigured before them." Transfigured meaning his face was changed. So, you know, the amazingly changed, that kind of called transfigured. Transfigured before them, his face, or Jesus' face, shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. So here is pre-incarnate glory of Jesus Christ. So who saw that? Right here, Peter, James, and John. So Peter right there. That's why Peter said, "I am a partake of the glory." So here, then Peter said, he said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Christ, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." So we can see. So the Peter foretasted the glory of Jesus Christ based upon Jesus' transfiguration on the mountain. That's why he said, "A partaker of the glory that will be revealed when? When you meet Jesus Christ face to face, that time Jesus' glory will be revealed to each of the creatures." That's why all Christian is a function of glorification. When glorification, only two ways. One is before your physical death, the Jesus is catching up with us to meet in the Lord, the Jesus Christ in heaven. That's called rapture. The second is physical death. That moment, your soul and spirit will meet the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory, face to face. Here, shepherd the flock of God, or feed the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. Overseers is the general elders terms. Not by compulsion. Compulsion, not by force. So your ministry must be voluntarily or willful. Not like by compassion, by dress, like that. So we can see other by right here, willing. Willing heart is essential. So here there is another is talking about that. Willing is that is here. The Corinthians said, "You must be cheerful giver." Cheerful giver meaning some minister is giving ministry to the flock of Jesus Christ. You should give to ministry, to serve, to labor, to offering, whatever is, must be cheerful. The 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves the cheerful giver. So, right here, in this context, said willingly. So willingly or cheerfully giving your ministry to the flock of the Lord. Also, shepherd the flock of God is because God, you know, wants us to have, you know, God's standard, not like a human standard. So we can see after Jesus resurrected, Jesus showed up by himself to his disciples at the Sea of Galilee. That time Jesus prepared fish. So Jesus ate the cooked fish together with his disciples. That time Jesus Christ asked a question to Peter. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? More than this meaning, more than these fish, breakfast, a lot of fish, or more than the other disciples? Do you love me more than the other disciples, or the fish pool? He said to him, meaning Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs, feed, shepherd my lambs. Then he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? The second question again. Then Peter said to Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to Peter, tend my sheep meaning take care of my sheep. So right here Jesus indicated by himself, my sheep, not Peter's sheep. So you are the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, not, you know, my sheep or Lucas' sheep, nor or Jeremy's sheep, nor some sheep, you know, you are the Lord's sheep, so my sheep. He said to him, Jesus said to Peter a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because Jesus said to Peter the third time, do you love me? And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep or shepherd my sheep. Right here, Jesus asked the question, three questions, do you love me? But in the Greek word, different meaning. Jesus, the first two questions is agape. Agape love is a divine lover, unconditional lover. But unfortunately, Peter answered, I love you, they love phileo. What does it mean, phileo? Because you are my friend, because Jesus Christ is my friend, that's why I love you. But Jesus' question itself, not the other way. Regardless of your friend relationship or brotherly and whatever, do you love me? Supreme love. Do you love enemy? Even enemy, do you love? Supreme love. That kind of question. So, supreme lover or divine lover or unconditional lover, only one way you could get that love. How? First of all, you should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That moment, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. The overflowing of the Holy Spirit, over which the Holy Spirit's gift is agape love. So agape love really comes from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, not from you. So Jesus really asked Peter, you should love given by God through the Holy Spirit. But unfortunately, Peter answered, I love you because you are my friend. Phileo answer. So then, but the last question Jesus said, do you love me? That question is phileo, not agape. So Jesus, the supreme lover, was calmed down to the Peter's level. That's why, you know, so often when we pray to the Lord, so unfortunately, we are forcing our desire, our level to God. Like Peter forced God to Peter's level, there is a phileo level. But we should be raised to God's level by the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus asked the Peter, the first two times, agape love, supreme love. Jesus really wanted Peter to be promoted to God's level, which is agape love. But the last question, because the Peter answered the same way as the brother lover, friend lover, that your last question is a fall down. So God wants to give us a lot of things. So you should submit to the Lord. You should ask to the Lord, let the Holy Spirit control you. Let the Holy Spirit be full of your heart. You know, that kind of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 9 said, Jesus said to them, disciples, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Because God will make you fishers of men. Not, you know, we will make by ourselves fishers of men. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will make you fishers of men. So we are followers. Who is a leader? The Lord Jesus Christ. So that's an important lesson. Also, nor as being lords. So, the Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus said, for even the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, did not come to be served, but to serve. Serve to the heart, serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So, disciple Peter asked the elders, do not be being lord. Lord meaning, you know, like a supreme position, exalted position, control others. Do not do that. You should be a humble servant, because Jesus Christ came here to serve you, to give his himself as a ransom for us. So also here, serving as overseas, not by compulsion, not by force, but willingly or cheerfully or intentionally, not for dishonest gain or not for filthy lucre. Minister is never for money at all. Minister is basically ordained by God. Because of God, minister is ministering, several functions, teaching Bible, praying for the ship of God. Not like for money, right here. Not for dishonest gain or a filthy lucre, but eagerly, which meaning ready mind or a generous heart. Why? Because the Lord called the minister to minister the flock over the sheep. You know, that's why. Also, and when the chief shepherd appears, the chief shepherd is the Lord Jesus appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Because at that time, laurel wreath fades away. Laurel tree is, you know, a certain marathon, got the champion, he would receive laurel wreath. So laurel tree fades away, depending on several days later, the wreath fades away. But unlike that, crown of glory never fade away. So the Bible talks about over five types of crowns. Crown of life, James chapter 1, verse 12, to those who love Jesus. If you love Jesus, you will receive the crown of life. Incorruptible crown or imperishable crown. If you are temperate in all things, you stand in all trials, you are kind, you are nice, so you will receive an incorruptible crown. The 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Also, crown of rejoicing. If you preach the gospel of God to your neighbors, you will receive a crown of rejoicing. The 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Crown of righteousness. If you are loving Jesus appearing, if you are eagerly waiting for Jesus coming soon, you will receive a crown of righteousness. The last one is today, crown of glory. That is a shepherd, or shepherding, or feeding the flock of the sheep. Those ministers will receive crown of glory. Talks about that right here. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves or to your elders. Obey your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. So all of submissive, all of them should have servant heart, not like a ruling heart. Servitude heart, submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. For, because God's characteristic right here, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So, we can say, I am proud over something. God really resists the proud, the prouder, the arrogant people. But God gives grace. Grace meaning gift, unmerited favor, favor to the humble people. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He may exalt you in due time. He may promote you in due time, meaning in His time. So Psalm chapter 75, verses 6 and 7 says, for promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and sets up another, promotes another. So some worker want to be promoted. Promotion comes from God, not from man. So you should be humble, then God will promote you in His time. So let's see each question. In verse 1, what types of ministries do elders at church? In the Bible, 7 functions talks about. Number 1, feeding. Number 2, ruling. Number 3, recognizing who is ordained by God. The 4th, teaching. 5th, praying. 6th, managing finance matter. Last one, to be raptured on throne, certain elders sitting on the throne. So we can see 7 types of ministries in the Bible. In verse 3, what do examples to the flock mean? That meaning servitude heart. So Jesus as Lord and teacher, but Jesus washed His disciples' feet. Why? Because Jesus, you should serve for one to another. So Jesus really showed up His servitude heart. That's important. The last question, why should we be humble? Why? Because God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. That's why we should be humble. Because we want to receive God's grace. That's why we should be humble. Okay, let's pray all together with the Lord's Prayer. Then we'll close today's sermon.